three Navy officers have been arrested and charged so far, as have a Naval Criminal Investigative Service agent who helped facilitate the bribery scheme, and the defense contractor who allegedly gave the bribes, Leonard Francis, the owner of Glen Defense Marine. That company's been providing port services to Navy ships in Southeast Asia for 25 years, but according to prosecutors, Francis was able to overbill the Navy by at least $20 million over the last several years, in part by using sensitive information that he plied from Navy officers by offering them free travel, hotel rooms, and prostitutes. Navy Secretary Ray Mabus told reporters that there will be more shoes to drop in the case.
I think it's fair to say that there will be more disclosures coming in GDMA. What kind of disclosures those are, I'm not at liberty to say. But I certainly don't think we've seen the end of it.
Mabus stressed, though, that the scandal only came to light because of the Navy's own internal investigation, notwithstanding the fact that one of its own NCIS agents was part of the alleged conspiracy. That agent, John Beliveau, pled guilty to bribery and conspiracy charges in federal court in San Diego earlier in the week. If he cooperates with investigators as part of that plea agreement, the investigation could expose other conspirators. Some of the policy changes Mabus announced Friday are intended to get directly at the kinds of methods GDMA used to rip off the Navy. According to prosecutors, it managed to routinely and dramatically underbid its competitors for husbanding services in foreign ports, but those bids were only a starting point. From there, the company would manage to sell additional services to Navy ship supply officers that were not covered by the base contract.
I do think there were gaps in the contracting. We did set up several years ago a standardized list of fixed price line items. And the estimate was that unpriced line items should account for about 1% of contracts, because ships tend to need the same thing going into port over and over again. And that sometimes the husbanding agent would come in and say, we don't have that. Whatever it is, it's a fixed line item. We've got this, but it costs more. We didn't have the centralized ability to tell the contracting officer on the ship, don't do this. Now, it's allowed us to chase down overpayments in a lot of these cases. But that's one of the reasons that we are doing much more in terms of centralization in these contracts and in the way that we're going to centralize the oversight to not put the commanding officer or the supply officer in these things.
Under the Navy's new policies, supply officers and commanding officers will be taken out of the process of making payments to overseas vendors entirely, and the service says it will do a better job of providing contracting support to ships that are headed for foreign ports. Also, the Navy will expand its list of line items that contractors need to provide ships at a fixed price in order to eliminate the last-minute haggling process that led to massive overcharges in the GDMA case. Elliot Branch is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Acquisition and Procurement.
This would be like us going on a business trip and going to the rental car counter. And this happens to me all the time because I get a government rental car. It's an economy car. I don't fit. So what if the rental agent said, well, I can upgrade that to you. And you simply upgraded without asking the price of that upgrade. Unfortunately, that's what happened in some cases. And it happened because we have people out there who are focused on the mission. And we asked them to focus on the mission. We're now asking them to focus more closely on the business.
According to prosecutors, part of GDMA's strategy was to use the Navy insiders it recruited through bribes to direct their ships to ports where the Navy had less visibility into local cost structures, making it easier to overcharge the government and get away with it. So Mabus is also directing the Navy to come up with better guidance on ships' overseas requirements, develop new oversight processes for services that aren't already accounted for as fixed-price items in Navy contracts, and create a standardized process across the entire fleet for requisitioning items that ships need while they're in port. At the same time, Mabus says, the Navy is taking a more comprehensive look at all of its contracting processes for husbanding services, based on an examination that the Navy Department's top acquisition official, Sean Stackley, started in September.
We now have the preliminary results of this review, and based on those, we're taking some immediate steps. A so-called red team of experts from across the fleets and from Naval Supply Systems Command has been formed to scrutinize the husbanding contractor process from end to end, and to recommend changes to correct deficiencies in those procedures and to provide maximum effective oversight of the process. When their work is done, and based on that work, Assistant Secretary Stackley will issue a revised acquisition strategy that will be used on all husbanding contracts globally.
Mabus says the Navy's also using the suspension and debarment process more aggressively as a way to deter bad behavior by its contractors. The most recent federal statistics, though, don't appear to bear that out. The most recent numbers, which go through fiscal year 2011, show the Navy lagged behind both the Army and the Air Force. But when the Navy does decide to debar a contractor, it's aggressive about it. In recent months, it's blocked vendors from the federal procurement system for as long as 12 years. The standard, under federal law, is 3 years. In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.